Good morning. Jay, it's good to see you. I was actually just thinking about you this week. No word of a lie. Really? Good. I saw you coming through the door this morning. I was just thinking about you this week. So it's good to see you. So for those of you who are visiting this morning, my name is PJ, and I count it as a privilege to share with you this morning, sharing the word. But I gotta speak to you because I've been wrestling with something since Friday night. My wife has always told me that I could deliver a sermon that has got impact, and she always listens to every word and she holds on to every word. And I felt kind of good about myself when Mel would tell me this. And you know, we'd drive home from a sermon, and I'd say, "How did it go?" And she'd be like, "You know, it's fine." She'd give me feedback. I love it. She'll be very honest with me. But she would say, "You know, I really like this and this and this." And overall, I thought it was good. So you got a good sense of yourself, right? I got a good sense of myself. I was like thinking, you know, at least my wife would listen to my sermons. So this week has been somewhat of a busy week for me. Friday afternoon, like obviously you collect all your thoughts. Friday afternoon, you start to compile what you're going to share on the Sunday. So you stitch everything together that has been speaking over the last couple of weeks since I realized that I was dealing on the topic I'm going to deal with today. But you've got at the back of the head that maybe Friday afternoon, you're leaving it a bit late. So there's this thing at the back of my head where I'm a bit conscious about this morning. And I go home, and I had to work a bit late on Friday, and I'm lying on the couch. And I said, "Mel, how was your day?" And she said, "It was amazing." I'm like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "Yeah, I had this revelation." I was like, "Wow, okay, tell me about this revelation." She said, "Well, God actually used this really cheesy cartoon to really speak to me about something." She said, "You know, when Jesus has died, and then he's risen, and then he meets Peter on the shore of the lake, and then he goes and he asks Peter, 'Do you love me?' And he asks him a second time, 'Do you love me? Do you love me?' And she said, the way this cartoon did it is each time Jesus asked, 'Do you love me?' they contrasted back to each of the times that Peter denied Jesus during the Passion. And I just never realized that. And I sit there and I'm like, 'Did you listen to my last preach?' And she's like, 'Yeah, I did.' And I was like, 'I spoke about it.' She's like, 'No, you didn't.' I said, 'Go and listen to the recording. I absolutely spoke about that.' And she says, 'Well, you know, sometimes God uses different ways in which they can speak.' And I just sat there and I was like, my wife doesn't listen to my preachers. Like, everything has been said. It's just lip service. So I do hope this morning that you will listen. You see, she wasn't even inside you. No wonder she doesn't listen. We've been going through a series. We started a series last week, and Jonas, you can just pull it up. But we are speaking as we start 2024. There was one slide before. Just go one down. There we go. So we've been going over the series, which is renewal and restoration. As we start 2024, we really felt that what is the best way in which we could really launch into the year. And the theme behind it was renewal and restoration. And last week, Len took us in starting anew and pressing on. And next week, we'll be sharing on restoration in relationships. And the following one, we'll be speaking about finding or discovering our purpose. But this week, I've got the opportunity to just share on renewing your mind. And this is a timely one. I think it's a significant one, first and foremost, because when you look at the mind is often referred to as the battlefield of where spiritual warfare actually takes place. This is the place where the enemy will sow doubt, will sow fear, will sow disqualification. All the lies that come inside over there, they attack the mind, which then speaks to the heart and drives our behavior, drives our words. And so this is really a critical thing to look at and get right, because if you don't, the enemy can just run rampant in your mind and really start to sow the doubt, which he's so good at doing. But this is also a timely time to start speaking about the mind. How many of you know that the most depressing month of the year is January? I actually didn't know that, but when I was looking up at it, it's actually January is the most depressing month of the year. As a matter of fact, they say that January 24th is the most depressing day of the year. So I was reading up on this, and there are a couple of things. They say, well, firstly, you've got just the general sense of coming into something new, and people are generally apprehensive. The other one was that this is the month where most spouses pluck up the courage to tell their other spouse that they want to separate or they want to get divorced. There's also the reality of the spending spree in December and Christmas, and all of a sudden there's a credit card that comes due. All of a sudden these bills start coming through, and people, there's a level of desperation that comes in. But no matter what the reason is for why this is a depressing month, I mean, we know outside it's long dark days and the absence of the sun. It's actually known as a syndrome that with the absence of sun, it actually brings on a depression. And then there's some countries where school years start in the calendar year, and there's anxiety amongst kids as they start a new year. So there's many things that focus on the month of January. But notwithstanding the reason, we can understand that January really is a time to understand or focus on the fragility of the mind and the wellness of the mind and how that impacts you in terms of your calling and what God is guiding you or where God is leading you in this next year. So my desire and my heart for the sermon this morning is that when you leave this morning, you will appreciate the revelation of a renewed mind that carries through transformation of the spirit, and you will be able to hear with clarity the desires that God has for you, the will that God has for you, not just any will, but a good will, a perfect will that God has for you in 2024. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your opportunity that we get to share in your word. I thank you that by your grace, I get to stand over here and share the gospel this morning. Lord God, I pray that minds will be open this morning. I pray for transformation. I pray that minds will be opened to the will for each of the lives that sit here this morning. And people will walk away with a word that refreshes them, encourages them, and leads them not only into this week, but into 2024. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Could you turn with me to your Bibles to Romans 12? So I'm going to read from the ESV. I always bring a Bible just in case I make the scripture too small, but I'm only 40 and my eyes are still good, so I can look over here and I'll read it. But I am reading from the ESV version, and these are going to be the two verses that I want to focus on today. So it picks up from verse 1. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I want to focus particularly on verse 2, but I can't get to verse 2 without using verse 1 as the foundation where all of this comes from. And verse 2, you're going to contrast the two different minds that you see there, one of the world and one that is in the spirit. But when you look at verse 1, it's important that you see the Romans 12 verse 1 is really the culmination of everything from Romans 1 all the way up to Romans 11. And it starts over there and it says, therefore, so because of what's been said, brothers and sisters, because of the mercy that is being extended to you, because you have been made righteous by the death of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus, there is a righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, that has been pressed upon you. And because of that, you are made righteous. And because you are righteous, there is only one thing you can do, there is only one thing you should do, and that is to be a living sacrifice that worships God. And you notice when it speaks of living sacrifice, in the Old Testament, everything was a sacrifice had to involve death, or you'd have a burnt offering. All of these aromas would be pleasing to the Lord. But in the New Testament, because of the death of Jesus that has paid for the penalty of sin, you've now got our ability that we may live. And not just on this earth, but we have the opportunity to live into eternity. And by us becoming living sacrifices, that action of being a living sacrifice creates a pleasing aroma, something that is pleasing to God. And that is the very embodiment or manifestation of worship that we're going to touch on a bit later. But when we move into verse 2, you contrast two mindsets. One is of the world, and one is of the spirit. And I want to be clear over here that the two mindsets exist, but the two mindsets are mutually exclusive. What I mean by that is you can't dabble in a mind that is conformed to the world and have a mind that is transformed by the Spirit. It's one or the other. So when you look at a mind that is conformed to the world, what do I mean by that? I'm speaking about a mind that is molded. I'm speaking about a mind that is pressed, is shaped, is influenced by the ideologies, by the priorities, and by the very things that the world focuses on, which is not God. It's everything that the world sees as important, but it is devoid of God. And when you look at some of these ideologies or a worldly value set, you see a couple of isms that I want to work on. So there's a couple of isms that make up the value set that is the world. And you look at materialism, the thing about amassing wealth. You look at consumerism, I must collect. I must collect everything that is possible. I must get that. What's in front of my face, I must get it. I must consume it. There is secularism, which is the separation of the church from the state. So you all of a sudden, you've got these government agendas that are devoid of biblical principles. And in that, you're seeing that we should be inclusive to everyone. And you've got relativism, where, you know, justice or your moral compass is subjective. You need to understand the circumstances to define what is right or wrong. And you've got hedonism, which is the pursuit of pleasures. And you look at this five-point value set, and there's one there that is missing. But it's foundational to every one of those isms, and it's the biggest ism that exists, and that's individualism. And said differently, that is a culture that is focused on myself. This is about self-care. What is it in it? What is in it for me? How do I win? How do I get ahead? How do I live out the best version of myself? What is my truth? All of those things stitch together and form the foundation of that value set. And all of it is focused on me. If you can't focus on God, you start to focus on yourself. And the world exists and the world pushes it. And there's a desire for the world to just say, how do I get ahead? What about me? But the reality is that that is just filled with lie, that is empty, and it inevitably leads to death. If you look in Romans 8 verse 6, it says there that a mind that is governed by the flesh, a mind that is governed by my flesh leads to death. Right? So we look at this, and that's not something that as a Christian we can possibly explore. We cannot be a living sacrifice if we are governed by the flesh, because ultimately that leads to death and we are not alive. So you understand over here how much we focus on ourselves. And this morning when I was thinking about it, I was thinking of my kids, and we are human, right? There is a desire, there's a natural instinct. We are hardwired to think of ourselves. You just got to ask Evan, you got to put a plate of potatoes in front of Evan. And it doesn't matter if the plate of potatoes or if there's potatoes on my plate and I'm hungry, and Mel's plate and she's hungry, and Victoria doesn't really care for potatoes. But Evan will come and try and eat every possible potato that he can find in the house. Friday night when I got home, I was hungry, and these little hands come up on the table. He's already eaten, and he pulls him off his plate. How do I get? And I laugh at him, but the reality is we're not dissimilar. There is a lot in terms of how we try to collect the potatoes in the world. What are the potatoes in your world that you are trying to grab from the table of the Father? Right? And you should look at that. And we laugh at kids and we laugh at that analogy, but we are not the same. When we focus on ourselves, we are the ones that are reaching on the table and collecting everything for ourselves. This morning, I was up early. I was praying for all of you, and I was praying for the church this morning. And I was a little bit hungry, and I like toast. I like the toast that comes from the farmer's market. Anyway, Evan comes up and he says to me, "Dad, I want toast and kombucha." We got a new age kid. So And then he finishes off and he says, not only does he want toast and kombucha, and he's like, because that's what I want. And that's a man who knows what he wants. So anyway, I busy make this toast for him and I put some jam. He calls it a jam sandwich. And I look at this and I'm like, well, I could do with a bite of a jam sandwich. And I'm like, Evie can have a bite. And he's like, no. And it's, again, it's just, I look at this and he's 3, but he's not dissimilar to his dad who's 40 that does the same. It just manifests differently, right? So now I want to contrast this with a mind that has been transformed by the Spirit. A mind that has been transformed by the Spirit translates to freedom. A mind that is transformed by the Spirit brings life. The continuance of Romans 8, verse 6, it says there that a mind that is conformed by the flesh is death, but a mind that is conformed by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you want life and peace this year? Yeah. I certainly want it. I want it. I desire it. Life and peace. And sometimes we look at life, but life is what we live. And it sounds, that's circular in itself. But what I mean by life is you can look at people, you can look them in the eyes, and I've done it. And sometimes the lights are just off. That is not living. Let's say it differently, is God wants you to live in 2024. Not just 2024, he wants you to live every single day that he's given you to the fullest as a living sacrifice that glorifies the God that was gracious enough to save you. Okay? So if you conform by the flesh, it's death. But if you allow the Spirit to be central to your life, the gift of God, the very presence of God that is available to every Christian that has made Jesus his Lord and Savior, now is in our hearts, and that's what we use to transform our lives. That's what we use to transform our brainwaves and our thinking that allows us to be that living sacrifice. So when you think of how this is practically rolled out, how do you, like, what does it mean? How do you practically on a day-to-day basis allow for the transformation, allow for the renewal of your mind? And I was looking at a couple of things, and it sums up in worship. But the three things I want to touch on is, first and foremost, the Word. The next one is prayer, and the other is going to be community. So let's focus on the Word. The Word over here is truth. And I went, I was sharing this with Mel last night, and she really encouraged me to change my verse more towards this one. So I do listen to her when she speaks about the preach. She just doesn't listen to me when I preach, but that's okay. But I want to come up over here on Psalm 1, 1 to 3, and this is David. And it says here, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water. They yield its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Okay? So first and foremost, we need to establish ourselves to the truth. Not our truth. There's a big thing mainstream where I hear people say it. And they say, what is your truth? But you live out your truth. What does that even mean? Okay? And we can't trust our mind because it's subjective. We need to establish ourselves to the ground truth. Ground truth has meaning. It means that it is separate from us and it doesn't change. It doesn't change based on my emotion, my feeling, or my circumstance. The truth is the truth. And the truth is God's word. And we need to be spending time in it. We need to be spending our time day and night meditating on the Word, because that is where we can anchor ourselves to. And it goes on over there. It says, it's like a tree. We would be like trees planted by streams of water. So not only are we planted, not only have we got roots that run deep, but we've got roots that draw water. Water that gives us life and allows us to grow. So I'm going to ask you, as you look to transform your mind and renew your mind and think about how you want to place God first this year, how are you focusing and how are you rooting yourself in the Word for 2024? If you've never opened up your Bible, I encourage you. I really, really encourage you to open it up and just let God speak to you. And you could look at it and say, PJ, it's too daunting. Just start. There are more than ever is it easier to access resources that allow you to make the word, the truth, available. It's even available in Ukraine. Right. So as I always say, I put you over here in English, and I really wish that I could speak Ukrainian. I wish I could speak Russian. For the people that come that have come from Ukraine and Russia, I wish I could speak fluent, but I can't. So by God's grace, he's speaking to you in this message. The second one is prayer. And so now we've been anchored in the truth, the ground truth, not our truth, the ground truth of the word. But prayer is just as important. We are wired for relationship with God. Everything we do should be in connection with God. And the fact that we house the Holy Spirit should just lead to an outpouring of prayer in our day-to-day lives to connect to God. There is something that connects us to God. It is His grace and is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's important that when we look at this, you say, when we rely on maybe the beginning of the year in the most depressing month supposedly, and we are carrying anxieties, and we are carrying stresses, all you have to do is look at the word, the truth that says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. How would you like to know that this year, when you think, I hear, you know how many people would say that they don't know what God's will is for them? They don't know what God is saying. I can't trust my own thoughts. I've sat with people already in this year that have said, PJ, I cannot trust my own thoughts. The question is, are you praying? Because I look over there and it says there, it will guard your hearts. More importantly, it will guard your minds. In a time where the devil is running rampant in that battlefield, how do you guard your mind? And you can do that with prayer. And it starts just on a day-to-day basis, whether you're driving, whether you're waking up, just the conversation. Are you making time for Jesus? Are you making time for your relationship with God to allow Him to speak? You can say, PJ, you can come up over here, and I'm not pointing anybody out, but sometimes people can come over here and say, I just want to hear God. And you say, have you spoken to Him? Have you opened up your mouth and prayed? We can pray. We've got a prayer team that loves to just fill out their gifting of prayer. But my encouragement is that it's not just here where it happens. It also happens in your homes. It also happens when you wake up. It happens in your cars. It happens wherever. Having that conversation, that consistent conversation with the Lord is essential to renew your mind and allow the Word of God to speak. Allow Him to speak in prophetic ways, in profound ways, which can be done. The third one I want to speak about is community. And this is a regular verse that is shared when it comes to community, but it's Proverbs 27:17. It says there, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So one sister sharpens another. Community is essential. Just as we have to plant ourselves alongside a stream in the truth, the ground truth from which we can draw water, so we have to plant ourselves in a good community. And there are many communities and many social clubs that you can go outside of these walls or go outside into the world and plant yourself in and find a sense of belonging. But I'm going to challenge that if you are looking for the renewal of your mind in a godly way, what is your community? Is it a community that is like-minded, or is it a community that is counter to that or supporting those five value sets with the center of individualism at its core? Community is important. I am blessed by this church. Honestly, I am blessed by this church. I was telling Mel this morning, when I was speaking to Mel, she was up earlier as well, I was just chatting, I said, Mel, I want you to know that I am blessed by the community of Enjoy Life Church. Each one of you have had different impacts or influences in my life, and it is a joy to be part of this body. I find life in this body. For those of you who've been around long enough, it's getting better because more and you, as you come, as the more and more of you that have come later on, the less and less of you know about who I was, the person sitting at the back of the church over there in 2012, right? But I am blessed by a community in which I've been able to be drawn and encouraged and challenged and questioned on what I think the truth actually is. And God wants to bless you with a church community. I am blessed by my life group. We had an amazing life group on Thursday night. I always say that. I'm always going to punt life group. But we had an amazing time on Thursday night, encouraging one another, growing in the word, fellowshipping, all of which is a blessing from God. But community is there when times are dark. Community is there to pull you out when you find yourself in the darkest moments of your life. They're there to maybe give you a meal when you don't have one or you don't have a table to sit around. That is the power of community. We are wired for community. And the devil knows that, and that's why he tries to isolate. Yeah. He will isolate you. He will tell you, focus on yourself. And the crazy thing is that when you focus on yourself and you become more and more isolated, the first thing you'll say is, I'm lonely. And the reason why is because the instinct, just like your instinct is to grab the potatoes from the table, your instinct is to commune with people, to be engaged, have a relationship. And without that, you'll see more people not. When it is a suicidal, how many of people are walking around you where they are alone, where they haven't reached out? And I encourage you that God has blessed you with a community. I want you to look around as I'm speaking. Just look around at the people in this church that you've been blessed by. And so often we will speak to people and we'll say, who are you meeting with? Or have you spoken to someone? And the answer is no. And that's filled with a shame, that's filled with a doubt. People won't understand. Whatever it may be, God wants to bless you with a community. And the enemy is always going to work against that because it's when you're isolated that that's when he can run rampant in that battlefield, which is your mind. And he can lie and he can sow doubt. Are you really loved? Because that's the biggest thing. When you start looking at how you start to look at yourself, there's so many things in this world when you do focus on yourself that you will get confused and you'll start to compare. Maybe you'll be depressed because you don't have what someone else has, or become anxious because you're not where you're supposed to be. And all of that is sown in a lie, in a lie that is attached to the doubt of, does God really love you? So when you look at being in the Word, and you look in prayer, and you look in community, all of that gets summed up in this word that was at the end of verse 1 of Romans 12, which spoke about true worship. I love our worship times over here. The worship time was an amazing time this morning. Special shout out to the violinist. I really, really enjoyed it. I love worship in this church. But the reality, guys, is that worship doesn't get confined to the 5 or 4 songs that we sing on a Sunday. Worship is every fiber of our being as we live should be an extension of our worship. When we spend time in the Word, when we spend time giving thanks when we pray, when we spend time in community, when we're doing the things that we've been called to do, that is an extension of our worship. And that's what it means when God says that we need to be, well, when Paul says to the Romans, we are living sacrifices, and that's what pleases the Lord. That is the aroma that is pleasing to the Lord. The aroma that we give off when we are engaged in community and we're doing the things that we've been called to do. The byproduct of us having a life that is transformed, the byproduct of us having a renewed mind that is governed by the Spirit, is that we are able to discern God's will for our life. It's not just something that is good. It's not just something that is pleasing, but it is something that is perfect. How many of you have started this year and you've said, God, tell me what your will is for my life? I will tell you, I am one of them. I wake up, I drive to work, I'll drive here in the morning, and I just ask, like, God, if you can just tell me what you want, if you can just tell me what your perfect plan is, and he's saying, I can give it to you. It is available, but it requires a mind that is transformed, a mind that is renewed in the spirit, a mind that is not focused on those value sets with the centerpiece being individualism. It is wholehearted dedication, wholehearted worship to God. And it's in there that you find God's will. You're able to discern. You're able to test is another version that they speak to. And it's not only his will. It's not only good, but it will be pleasing to God, and it is perfect. And we need to be careful, because this isn't something where we've now been transformed and now all of a sudden we're this side. So we were of the world, we gave our life to Jesus, and now we're this side. There's a different preach for that in which I will use that, but the reality is we need to understand that this is a day-to-day battle. As humans, now my mind's been transformed and let's go on with life. I can tell you from personal experience, I sit over here, I stand over here today, and I'll tell you that it is a day-to-day battle to fight a mind that is led by the Spirit against my fleshy desire, which is a mind that is governed by the flesh. My brain is hardwired to reach for the potatoes. My brain is wired to ask, how much can I hold? My brain is wired to ask, how do I save for my family? And I want to be clear over here that I'm not saying that, you know, looking after yourself or planning for your retirement or enjoying some pleasures are wrong. But the challenge is that when that becomes the focus of your life, when you are consumed, when your mind is consumed by all those things, there is no place for transformation. That is not a renewed mind. And there you would focus on yourself, which is not what God wants. As a matter of fact, lay down your life just as Jesus did. Be like Jesus. Lay down your life and see how God will move. We need to protect our minds. We have to do everything possible to protect our minds. First of all, I don't want to make this out that this is just us, how we do this. Note that this is the power of the Spirit. But we've been given the gift of salvation. In Ephesians 6, verse 17, it speaks of the helmet of salvation. I'd spoken about a battlefield between your two ears where spiritual warfare happens. Any battle, any combat where the head is exposed, it is essential to wear a helmet. If you don't and you hit in the head, it's almost guaranteed it is game over. And you need to be doing what you can to protect your mind. And we've been given the helmet of salvation. And I'm quite a Formula One fan. I love Formula One, and it's been interesting. I've been watching it for 30 years. But one of the things in the evolution of Formula One, it's always these new technologies that come out. And it's been interesting to see the technologies that are materials that make up a helmet. So much so now that the helmets they make today in Formula One are bulletproof, and you can ride a tank over them. I've seen a YouTube video on it. So, but when you think of the material that makes up our spiritual helmet, salvation is an amazing material. And I'll tell you why. First and foremost, it reminds you of the price that was paid for you. A price that was paid for each of you because you are loved. Because you are so dearly loved, and God has a plan for you that he put a redemptive plan in place that blood will be shed so that you may live and be that living sacrifice and live out your calling. And the second thing is that it reminds us of what we've been saved from. We were saved from a certain death. The penalty of our sin was death, and we were left to die if it was not for God's redemptive plan of salvation, where Jesus' body would be broken, blood would be shed, so that we may live. And we need to remember that when the times are dark. But then the third part that is woven into this material that makes up this helmet is what we've been saved into. We have been saved into a plan for each of our lives. When you start in 2024, and there could be many circumstances that happened in 2023, there could be many circumstances that have happened now. We're 3 weeks into January, and you could say, this has been a long year, right? You need to have that helmet of salvation on you, reminding you of the price that was paid, the dear price, because you're loved. And you need to be reminded that there is a plan for you that should give you hope. And through that, you can protect the mind that has been transformed by the power of the Spirit. And this might be tough in the beginning, but I'm telling you, the more and more you start to think, the more and more you tune yourself to the things that please God in true living sacrificial worship, the more and more the synapses in your brain start to connect. And more it becomes habit. And more you're used to influence. And more you start to hear with clarity what God's will is for your life. And it's not just a will. It is something that is good. It is something that is perfect. It is something that is pleasing. So I'm going to ask the band to come up. My favorite violinist. When I was making the slide, I was just looking at it now. I always like the image of something, but I want the lights to go on today for you guys. They speak about January being a dark month, but I want the lights to go on for you. I want God to move in each of your lives this morning, where it's the little pulling of the old school chain or the flicking of the light, and the light comes on. I'm going to ask you, how many of you are excited about 2024? How many of you are apprehensive? You feel it overwhelming. You feel that it is daunting to enter into another year. How many of you find yourself where the enemy is running rampant in your mind this morning? Where he's sowing those seeds of doubt. They're sowing those seeds of confusion. So in the words that you are not loved, or you don't find yourself in a community. How many of you find yourself in a way where the light is off? You're walking around, you're smiling, yet you carry the world on your shoulders. People can see it in your eyes, but the light is off. I want to tell you this morning, as we start 2024, something that is new, something that is fresh, something that is a clean slate. Even no matter what happened up until this morning, it doesn't matter. From today, it can be a clean slate. It's just nice to have a new year to start something fresh. But I want to tell you that if you allow the Holy Spirit to transform your mind and you let go of the value set that you hold into this world, it is there where you will be able to discern the Word of God, the will for your life that is pleasing, that is perfect, and that is good. So I'm going to ask you to stand up with me, please. Now, I did touch on worship and that our lives should be a living sacrifice, and that is perfect worship. So I'm anticipating that there is going to be a strong end in worship this morning, in singing and raising of hands, whatever it may be. But I'm speaking to each of you this morning. When you think of a mind is made up of millions and millions of decisions in a moment. Millions and millions of decisions that you are making right now. And I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, and I'm going to ask, there's only one decision that I want to ask out in the sanctuary this morning. Is the first question is, do you need to give your life to Jesus? This morning, do you need to make the one single decision that you need to give your life to Jesus? That's the only decision that you need to make. And I promise you, your life will change. And the second question I want to ask is, you know what I'm speaking about when I ask about, are the lights off? You know what I'm speaking about when the enemy is speaking lies into your mind that is secluding you, that is pulling you away from community, that is making you doubt. You know what I mean about the lies that start to speak and bring about a cloud of depression. You know about the words that I'm speaking about when it brings about a racing level of anxiety. And I'm saying that as we start this year, God wants to break it. God wants to break all of that this morning. And I'm going to invite you as we stand before God this morning and worship Him and allow Him to transform our minds. Come up and let us pray for you. Let us pray over your mind. Let us pray for that transformation and allow the helmet of salvation to sit firmly on your head this morning, that you can go out with peace and life and clarity. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your redemptive power. I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, we have been made righteous. I thank you that the only response that we can have to us being made righteous is a posture of worship, where we become a living sacrifice, that we can come under the governance of your Spirit, and through that we will find life and peace. Jesus, come and have your way here this morning. Jesus, I pray that as mouths are opened, as steps are taken, depression and anxiety are broken. I pray that if a single decision of giving a life to Jesus this morning is had, Lord, I pray that you move and you show them that that is the best decision that could ever be made. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just wanted to encourage you this morning that when the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's not something that we will ourselves to have. We don't will ourselves to have more joy or to have more peace or to have more faithfulness. The only thing that's required is to trust. And when we press into the Word of God, it says that it has the power to split between soul and spirit. And our spirit man is the one that desires to come in line with God, that desires to live in peace and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And it's our soul that gets in the way. It's our mind and our will and our emotion that stands there saying, but God, I want justice. But God, I want healing now. But God, I want to know what the full plan is. But God. And when we come before God and we press into His Word and we understand that our soul is what gets in the way and we submit that, that's all that God requires. When we put that aside, when we say no to ourselves, we get to step in line with our spirit that desires to be with God. And in that moment, He pours it out and He says, have a little joy. Have a little peace. You can forget about the rest. Your world is going to be rocked. There's going to be storms. There's going to be stuff going on. Have a little bit of laughter. Understand that you don't have to sit in the anxiety. Just sit in my peace because I've got it taken care of. And I just encourage you this morning to press into that with the renewing of your mind. It's not on you to do that. It's God's work. And it's His Spirit that will renew your mind when you allow Him to.
Thank you. Amen. I just want to encourage you to just take time. We have time. Respond this morning to God, not necessarily to anyone, to God. And I need my mind renewed. I need that helmet of salvation tight. You say, just come, just take a moment in the presence of God.